Back in the 80s, the hip-happening technology of the Sony Walkman was considered so distracting that schools around the country decided to ban them. Fast forward to 2004, and you'll find cell phones with cameras at the top of the principal's hit list. About 5 million of these camera phones have been sold thus far in the U.S. They can capture an image and instantly email, print, or post it on websites, to the delight of some and to the alarm of others. The phones are raising questions about privacy, and lawmakers in 9 states are considering legislation. So, do you use a camera phone? Have you ever had your picture taken with one, maybe surreptitiously? Give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, or you can email us at totn@npr.org. Joining us now to talk about this new technology and the law is Andrew McClurg, a law professor at Florida International University in Miami, Florida. He's with us from his office there. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Neil. It's good to be with you.
Across the country, workout gyms and schools are banning these cell phone cameras. What's the concern?
Well, it's probably a good idea because there's been numerous incidents of people misusing them, using them as for voyeuristic purposes to take pictures of people in situations where they probably would not like to have their picture taken.
So there are people taking them into the changing room or the bathroom of the high school.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. What legal states are the states considering?
Well, it's a problem, actually, to try to regulate this, Neil, because there's a long-standing principle in privacy law that you cannot invade privacy in a public place. And the problem is the law is, we're trying to deal with 21st century problems with 20th century laws, and technology, particularly these cell phone cameras, are a perfect example of that. Some states, as you mentioned, are considering legislation to try to regulate this, but it's very difficult to do. Now, it's not so hard to regulate it in truly private places, such as dressing rooms or locker rooms. Actually, many states already have what they usually denote as video voyeurism laws that prohibit taking people's pictures surreptitiously in places, private physical spaces, where they have a reasonable expectation of privacy. It gets a little dicier when they try to, as some states are trying to do, outlaw such conduct in public places.
But I know that some of this legislation stemmed from, I think I can use the generic word, creeps, who took pictures on escalators from the tops of their shoes looking up.
That's correct. Actually, there's been a number of instances of that, and there are apparently a number of websites devoted just to such practices. It's called upskirting. There was a Washington case that caused quite a furor, Washington State, a 2002 Washington Supreme Court case that ruled that a man caught upskirting a woman in a public place, that is, photographing up her skirt, could not be prosecuted under the state's voyeurism law because it occurred in a public place. So the Washington legislature has actually been the first one to respond with a statute that attempts to regulate that behavior. It's questionable whether that statute can be upheld as constitutional, though.
Now, could there be a more nuanced side to this, someone taking your picture and posting it on the web just on a bad hair day?
Well, I think that's part of the problem with trying to regulate it, is where do you draw a line when you travel and to a public place? You obviously give up a great deal of privacy, and where do you draw the line as to what is a reasonable expectation of privacy and what isn't?
Our phone number again, 800-989-8255, and let's begin with Kim, who's on the line with us from Cleveland.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Kim. I just recently got a new cell phone. One of the problems I would be able to see with regulations is you really cannot tell it's a cell phone, a picture phone, by looking at it. There's just a really, really small hole.
And that's,
yeah, you would have no idea I could take pictures of you.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't, and that's why there's such a worry, as millions of these phones are being sold, millions and millions more will be sold. I'm sure it may become standard on all phones, and that's precisely the problem, that technology makes it much easier to engage in voyeuristic activities that before could only be done with the naked eye.
Do you consider what you...
I open my phone to take a picture.
I'm sorry, Kim, I didn't catch that.
I don't even have to open my phone to take a picture.
You don't? So there's no clue at all as to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you consider what you do when you take pictures a voyeuristic activity?
Oh, no. I mean, I take pictures of my friends. I've been trying to open a business, so I'll take pictures of the site that I'm looking at. But I never take a picture of somebody without letting them know beforehand.
Never?
Not yet. I've only had it for a week, though.
She's still thinking about it.
There may be a circumstance.
Well, it's interesting. You know, the ad you see on TV is, you know, the young woman at the lunch counter taking a picture of her friend's boyfriend making a slob of himself and saying, mm-hmm. This is your new boyfriend. What do you think now? And of course, they still love each other. It's a commercial.
Right.
But, you know, nevertheless, that sort of, you know, petty blackmail suddenly becomes a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're out to blackmail somebody or do something like that, I suppose there's other ways to do it, just not as conveniently.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Kim.
You're welcome.
Good luck with the phone.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Another aspect of this, Andrew McClurg, is that, you know, there was an explosion of similar kinds of concerns when video cameras became so wildly popular. But one of the things we got was also videotapes of incidents like Rodney King. So suddenly things that used to be kept under the rug were easier to expose to the public.
Excellent point, Neil. And again, that's part of the problem with trying to regulate this behavior. There's a reported incident of someone using a cell phone to, I think, thwart a kidnapping in a northern state that I read about recently. So it's the same problem that we worried about with video cameras. I guess one difference with these cell phone cameras is, as Kim said, the last caller, is that it's much easier to do it on a surreptitious basis because they're so small and the digital quality enhances the quality of the photo image.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Linda, who's with us from San Antonio, Texas.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to call in to say that I recently received a personal email at home advising me when I'm out shopping and doing any kind of credit card transactions in stores, to be careful of who's around me with the phone, because there's been some fraud with people using the camera phones to get credit card name numbers and information like that.
I just thought
I'd call in and mention that.
I hadn't thought of that.
I hadn't heard of that either. That's interesting. Who sent the email?
It's at home, and I would have to go back and look, but one of my friends sent it just as a safety warning.
I think it's probably true, unless the person who sent it is a Nigerian prince, Linda. Well, thanks for the tip. You know, that's something I hadn't even thought about.
I hadn't either, and I thought, hey, I never thought about that. I thought it was very interesting.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And again, Neil, that's the problem with these phones and the technology and the miniaturization of it is the same concerns existed with regard to video cameras, but it would be hard to stand over somebody's shoulder at a store and do that with a video camera.
Yeah, that's much bigger. Vito is on the line with us from Princeton, New Jersey.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I would have to say that someone is always watching with the camera phone.
Yeah, it's certainly beginning to look like that, isn't it?
But I do not take pictures of anyone without asking their permission first. I respect people's privacy, but it is, it can fall if you respect
but your phone is lacks maybe a great taking pictures, but it's cracking up on the audio end, Vito.
I apologize, but it's a fun thing to have, but you have to respect people's privacy, and you can't go around saying that you don't know this.
Yes. Okay, well, what is the most interesting or surprising thing you've taken a picture of so far?
Just wanting to have their picture taken and having it downloaded to one of their computers at home.
Okay.
Where they can enjoy it. Also, you can take some pretty nasty shots of people, if you know what I mean. Nudity, if it's present, and you can do that. But again, you have to do it with people's permission. I don't think that you should just start taking candid shots of people unless there's something precarious going on. In today's world, you can be a witness to something.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Vito.
You're welcome.
Just hold on for a second. We're speaking with Andrew McClurg at the Florida International University in Miami about picture phones. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry.
Neil, that last caller raised a really interesting point, because I think it's dangerous for us to become too obsessed with cell phones when what he started out saying is we're being watched everywhere. And in fact, that's almost literally true, with surveillance cameras being mounted on street corners nowadays for security purposes in almost all stores, parking lots. It is a bigger problem in terms of technology invading our privacy on a much broader scale, and we have very few laws in the United States designed to protect personal privacy compared to, for example, countries in the European Union.
Is there anything considered legally private in a public space?
There really traditionally has never been, and that is part of the problem. It's a long-standing principle that there is no such thing as public privacy, and to some extent it does strike people as an oxymoron, perhaps. But, on the other hand, there are activities that people engage in public when they think, you know, they are not being watched, in which I think we would probably agree they do have a reasonable expectation of privacy. But how we define that in the law is very difficult. It's very difficult to criminalize behavior such as this and make it specific enough to pass a constitutional challenge on vagueness or overbreadth grounds.
Mm-hmm. Let's go with Anthony, and Anthony's with us from Carson City, Nevada.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Anthony.
I was just wondering, what do other countries do about this problem with camera phones? Because when I bought my camera phone in Japan like 3 years ago, it was fourth generation technology for them. So do other countries also have this problem?
I don't know, have a great deal of information about practices in other countries, although I did recently read something about specifically about Japan, that they apparently ban them in many more places. It's a much more common and longstanding practice to ban camera phones in various vicinities.
Didn't notice that.
Okay. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.
Let's go now with Jeff, and Jeff is with us from Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I think, you know, I love technology, but one of the things that comes with technology is going to be responsibility. And if people can't take the responsibility, one of the things that could be done is a technology that's used in digital photography is called a digital watermark, which is it's an algorithm where they embed a serial number into the photograph, which you can't remove without removing the photograph. So you put the electronic serial number of the phone, the person's phone number in it. They can take as many pictures as they want. They're just responsible. You know, it comes back. There's an audit trail.
Uh-huh. And I assume that there's technologically feasible to do this on a camera phone?
I would think so. It's something that's built into, like, Photoshop right now for dealing with images. If you downloaded a picture that has a watermark in it already, it's sort of like a digital copyright. You don't have the rights to it, you're not able to alter the image.
Mm-hmm. Andrew McClurg, is that something that's, as far as you know, being considered by any of the legislatures?
I don't know of any legislation that refers to that, no. I think it is more of a technology-related matter than a legally-related matter, but it would help. You know, the greatest invasion of privacy from taking someone's picture surreptitiously is probably not the taking of the picture, as offensive as that might be, but the fact that it often ends up on the Internet where millions of people can view it, which increases the magnitude of it, obviously, dramatically. So if it was possible to somehow trace those pictures back, that would probably be helpful to some people. On the other hand, it is somewhat of a contradiction that to protect privacy, we have to invade privacy, because I'm sure a lot of people would object to having all of their pictures bearing some type of traceable watermark on them, because most pictures are taken for legitimate purposes.
And Jeff also raised a phrase which raises a whole other raft of possibilities, that is Photoshop, so that conceivably somebody could snap a picture of you and put it on Janet Jackson's head in a compromising circumstance.
Yes, and there have been incidents of that apparently for many years where people were taking celebrities' pictures like Sandra Bullock's head and putting them on pornographic images, and you know, again, it's a broader problem than just these camera phones, is that technology is simply expanding at such a rapid rate, and the privacy laws have not expanded at all.
And I guess we're going to have to wait to see what laws are passed and to then see whether any of them will hold up to constitutional scrutiny, because that's going to be yet another set of issues. Jeff, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
And Andrew McClurg, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Neil. It's been my pleasure.
Andrew McClurg, a law professor at Florida International University in Miami, Florida. He was with us from his offices there on what I'm sure was just a normal phone, not taking pictures of anybody else in the room. Ira's here tomorrow with Science Friday. We'll see you Monday. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.